Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening. Thankful for your mercy. Thankful for your kindness. Thankful for being so patient with each and every one of us. Thank you for your majestic plan of salvation in every way you have shown us that you are such a loving God. So we have gathered this evening to study a portion of your word that you have left for us, so that by studying them, applying them, we can have a much more fulfilled life on this planet in spite of all the turmoils around us. So we pray that the Holy Spirit will enable us to perceive what you have for us this evening. This is a request in Christ's name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verses 18 through 20. He reads, "If a man is lazy, the rafters sag. If his hands are idle, the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes life merry, but money is the answer for everything. Do not revile the king, even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird of the air may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say." Now this passage contains the final of the third observation of Solomon with respect to the things that happen in this life, which is the effect of laziness together with unspecified harm that could come to a person for revering or reviling the powerful. Now the observation in this passage may be construed though as dealing with further consequences of foolishness in life of an individual, although that may not be obvious. But it is the context that enables us to recognize that the passage may be considered an observation concerning further consequences of foolishness. Now the preceding section, that is Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verses 16 and 17, is concerned with the consequence of foolishness in leaders and the blessing of wisdom in national leaders and their supporting leaders. Now, foolishness in a leader in the preceding section is related to the inability to discern the proper time for enjoyment, while wisdom is revealed in the ability to recognize the appropriate time for enjoyment. Now, the present passage makes reference to feasting, implying that in the mind of Solomon there was a connection between it and the previous section. Furthermore, the previous section mentions the king and the prince who helped him. Our present section makes reference to the powerful in terms of power and wealth. Therefore, it is very certain that Solomon was still thinking of the effect of wisdom and foolishness, although he generalizes in this section. Now, we claim that this section is concerned with consequences of foolishness because of the mention of feasting that was also mentioned in the preceding section. However, it's also true that the preceding section is concerned with wisdom, so it is a matter of preference as to the focus one wants with respect to present with respect to this passage. In effect, a teacher of the Word of God could decide to focus on a negative message that deals with the consequences or further consequences of foolishness. Now, this will be correct in conveying the message of this passage, since verse 18 may be considered a proverb that is quoted by Solomon to support the argument in verse 16 that lazy and foolish leaders bring disaster on their house, That is, of course,
their kingdom.
So this notwithstanding, though, considering that Solomon has concluded that wisdom is preferable to folly under all circumstances of life, we will then present the message in a positive manner. Moreover, the passage contains proverbs that, if properly understood, warn against folly or foolishness. Now, because of these reasons, we present then a positive message that no doubt is still concerned with the consequences of folly. In any event, the message we believe the Holy Spirit wants us to convey to you in this passage is this: wisdom teaches you to avoid laziness, to put pleasure and money in proper perspective, and to watch what you say about the powerful. That's the message. Wisdom teaches us to avoid laziness, to put pleasure and wealth or money in proper perspective, and to watch what you say about the powerful. Now, the focus of this message is on wisdom, and so it is necessary for us to clarify the sense in which we are using the term wisdom, since it can be used in various ways, defined in various contexts. For example, the New Dictionary of Biblical Theology indicates wisdom can be defined first as capacity of judging rightly in matters relating to life and conduct. Another definition is the ability to cope with life. It also means experiential knowledge as intellectual activity. Also, it can mean the legacy of parents to the children, or as a quest for self-understanding and for mastery of the world. So it is true then that wisdom can be defined in several ways. As the term is used in the Old Testament, though, it can also refer to human skill. Now, this notwithstanding, though, true wisdom includes spiritual discernment, and above all, the reverence and knowledge of God. However, since wisdom can also be used as a term for instruction of the scripture in practical living, as implied in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12, that we're studying. Look at verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12 reads, "Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips." Now, wise here has to do with some kind of knowledge. Now, in our usage of the term in this message, our focus is on wisdom as that instruction that comes from the Word of God that should enable a person to deal with the various challenges in moral issues of life. Now, this wisdom is that obtained through the study of the scripture. Of course, to correctly use that wisdom requires that God grants an individual the ability to know how to use knowledge in a proper manner. This notwithstanding, our focus on wisdom is that instruction of the scripture, with the understanding that anyone who has it and relies on the ministry of the Holy Spirit should properly apply it. Now, this means then that this message assumes you know how to acquire this wisdom through the study of the Word of God. In other words, The message of this passage requires that you should be devoted to the study of the Word of God so you can learn truthful principles to guide you in your spiritual journey. Now, devotion to the study of the Word of God is one of the means through which God provides wisdom, as the psalmist testified in Psalms chapter 19, verse 7. Psalms chapter 19, verse 7. He reads, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." So you see, the statutes of the Lord, that's His instructions, are those things that make you wise. Now, when you learn the Word, and you are under the control of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will fill you with wisdom, as implied in God's question to Job in Job chapter 38, verse 36. Job chapter 38, verse 36. He reads, "Who endowed the heart with wisdom, or gave understanding to the mind?" The answer, of course, God does it. So the Lord can give wisdom directly, but He also gives it in response to prayer. This we know, because Solomon's request to the Lord is certainly a prayer for wisdom, as recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Second Chronicles, chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. He reads, "Give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may lead these people. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I will also give you wealth, riches and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have." So based on Solomon's requests for wisdom, and God granting him that wisdom, it shouldn't then not come to us as a surprise that the Holy Spirit, through James, tells us that we should request for wisdom and be certain that God will grant that wisdom to us, as stated in James 1 verse 5. James chapter 1 verse 5 reads, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." That's a promise. If you and I ask for wisdom, we get it. In whatever situation we face, and we ask the Lord to provide us the wisdom to make the right decisions and choices, He will do that. So with this explanation, let me repeat the message of this section that we believe the Holy Spirit wants us to convey to you. And it is that wisdom teaches you to avoid laziness, to put pleasure
and money in proper perspectives, and to watch out or watch what you say about the powerful. Now, this message implies then that there are three major points that we should focus our study as we consider the passage. The first point of the message is that wisdom will help you avoid laziness. Now, what's laziness? Now, the English dictionary defines laziness generally in two ways. First, it is considered as unwillingness to work or to use energy. That's the one way to find it. Second, it refers to showing lack of effort or care. That's the second way it defines it. Now, psychologists describe it as a general lack of motivation, especially for work or other tasks that are necessary, though not intrinsically pleasant. Thus, laziness is commonly associated with refusal to work. However, there is more to laziness than to state that a person refuses to work. For the explanation, we look to the scripture for elaboration. Now, according to the scripture, a lazy person is also that individual who knows what to do but puts it off to be satisfied, or he puts it off, and that person is also satisfied with his or her status quo. Now, this description is derived from the parable of the talent of Jesus Christ that he gave regarding a person who thinks that he's not lazy, but he is, because he puts off what he needs to do, either due to fear or due to other excuses that the individual can give. So this we know from the parable then, stated in Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 through 27. Matthew Now, all we're trying to establish from this passage in Matthew 25, verses 24 through 27, is simply that another way to define a lazy person is that person who knows what to do, but puts it off, generally due to fear or due to other excuses, so that individual may have such, who has that kind of attitude, may be claiming to be satisfied with his or her status quo. So he reads, "Then the man who had received the one talent came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest.'" Now, in this parable, the man with one talent gave his reason for not investing it in order to make profit for his master. He knew that the proper thing to do was to invest the one talent he received. But because of the character of his master, as he says, and his fear of losing the talent, he refused to invest it. Now, those behavior earned him the description of wicked and lazy person. Hence, a lazy person is not only one who refuses to walk, but one that knows what to do, but out of fear or other flimsy reason, refuses to do it. See, that's more than the English dictionary gives you. That a lazy person is such an individual that is filled with excuses for not doing what should be done or not working. It's also implied in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. Proverbs, and you probably need to put your marker on Proverbs, because we're going to spend most of the evening in Proverbs, because we're dealing with wisdom, skill for living, and application of God's word. Here is, the slugger says, there is a lion outside, or I will be murdered in the streets. Now the word sluggard refers to a habitually lazy person. It is this kind of person that is filled with excuses, no matter how far-fetched or absurd, for not working or doing what should be done. Now it is absurd or far-fetched here that a lion will maul the individual while outside walking, or that such an individual will be murdered. But these are the flimsy excuses of the lazy person. So in any event, a lazy person is indeed an individual that loves to be idle, doing nothing, as will be evident in the passage that we are studying, but also evident in the description of the virtuous woman who is the opposite of being lazy, because she is continuously busy doing something, as described in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 27. He reads, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. See, to eat the bread of idleness means to be habitually idle or lazy. So in this case, here the virtuous woman is hardworking. So she is described as not loving to be idle, something that belongs to a lazy person. Now another characteristic, though, of a lazy person is fondness of sleep, love to sleep. A person who is lazy manifests that in the sense that the individual loves to sleep. It is this characteristic of the lazy person that is implied in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15 reads, laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless man goes hungry. Now realize that there are medical conditions that can cause a person to sleep most of the time. But when that is the case, you find that if the individual is not lazy, that such a person will do all in that individual's power to keep from sleeping too much, of course, by doing something meaningful in order to fight off the constant sleeping. However, if a person is indeed lazy, then such an individual succumbs to sleeping all the time. Now still though, another characteristic of a lazy person is that he or she is an arrogant fool, in that he or she assumes to know more than everyone else, as implied in Proverbs chapter 26 verse 16. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 16. It reads, "The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly." See, the arrogance of the lazy person is evident in that such an individual is confident in the justification that he or she provides for not doing what should be done. Thus, if you are constantly justifying yourself in spite of what many individuals with sound judgment say to you, then you're a lazy person. If you keep justifying yourself, why you shouldn't be doing something? So in any case, the first point of this message is that wisdom will help you avoid laziness. It's lazy, at least you've seen how we've defined it more than the English dictionary, the scripture has defined it. So how does wisdom help a person to avoid laziness? It is through being cognizant of what the scripture says about laziness and taking them to heart so that one applies them. Like what we have seen, we've gone through here. If you know this and apply them, then that's where you run away from laziness. Now the passage that we're considering tells us that laziness has undesirable effect, in that it leads to degradation of one's property. It is this point that is described first in the first sentence of Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 18 that we're studying, where it says, "If a man is lazy, the rafters sag." Now an alternative translation that is of course more literal is something like this: "Because of extreme laziness, the rafters sag." Now this is because the Hebrew line begins with a Hebrew preposition that in our passage may be interpreted either as a maker of means, and so translated true, as reflected in some or most of our English versions, or it can be used as a marker of reason or cause, and so maybe translated because, as reflected in a handful of our English versions, such as the New English Translation and the New American Bible. Now the use of either of these meanings takes the Hebrew line as a statement, while that of the NIV makes the Hebrew line a conditional clause, which of course is also permissible as a translation goes because of the Hebrew word used. However, we also see that the emphasis will really be because of, but nonetheless, we continue to look at what this lazy person is all about. Now, the word rafter used here is translated roof in most of our English versions. The Hebrew word used is given the meaning beamwork. That's the way the standard Hebrew English lexicon of Brown, Driver and Briggs define the Hebrew word, simply as a beamwork. Now the translators of the Septuagint use a Greek word that means wooden beam, in their translation of our Hebrew word in our passage. Now the word actually refers to a series of very thick planks of wood used as major weight-bearing beams, used to hold up a roof or a protective covering that forms the top of a building and often habitable. Hence the meaning roof, as we find in many English versions. However, though, we should remember that the roof of the ancient world was generally flat, in contrast to our modern roof that you find in the buildings today. They're different. They're flat. Now, so an ancient roof was constructed with several parallel beams. That is, it consisted then of a horizontal bed of branches or beams that were then covered with mud or limestone plaster. Thus, the roof then can be used as a sitting place in the evening time or other time and for entertaining guests, the roof. So it's not your modern roof. Now this explains how Samuel the prophet met with Saul on the roof of his house in 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 25. 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 25. He reads, after they came down from the high place to the town, Samuel talked with Saul on the roof of his house. See, people are completely ignorant of what I just told you about the ancient world, their roof being flat. They say, oh, yeah, the Bible doesn't make sense, yeah? How can somebody be walking around on the roof? But that's, it simply means it's because the roof is flat and made that way so you can stay there in the evening time. It's also because of the nature of the ancient roof that David could be said to be walking around his roof from where he spotted a naked woman taking bath in 2 Samuel chapter 11 verse 2. Second Samuel, chapter 11, verse 2. It reads, one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. See? It's a roof. So it's not a modern roof. So from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. The issue to me is that a roof, when you read it in the Old Testament, don't think of a modern roof. Anyhow, Solomon indicates that the roof of the ancient wall would sag because of the laziness of the owner. Because the roof of the ancient wall was constructed in a manner that we have described, and it deteriorated during the rainy season and consequently had to be repaired during the dry season to keep the roof from sagging. A lazy person will not do this or will keep putting it off until it becomes too late when the next rainy season begins. I'll do it tomorrow, and tomorrow never comes, and here comes the rainy season. So sagging of the roof has no doubt disastrous consequence for the owner of the house during the rainy season, in that the roof then will leak. So it is this that Solomon described next in the passage we're studying in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 18. Because he says, if his hands are idle, the house leaks. Again, An alternative translation is reads this way: because of idleness of hands, the house leaks. Now the second Hebrew line is parallel to the first one, implying that the literal phrase idleness of hands refers to the lazy person described in the first sentence. Thus, as we have indicated previously, a lazy person is an individual that sits around doing nothing. In our modern time, we can say by watching TV or even playing video games. Now, such use of a person's time may not be considered productive unless a person is paid to do that sort of thing. I know, you know, there are people paid to watch TV and people paid to play these games. If unless you're doing that, then that would be a waste of time. So a person may be lazy then if the individual gets involved in watching TV or playing video games when there is something that needs to be done. So a woman, for example, sits around to watch TV when she has so much housework to do. Then at that instant, she has become lazy. Similarly, a student who should be studying or doing homework puts it aside to play a video game or browse on the web. Then at that instant, that student has become lazy. So what I'm trying to say is, don't think lazy in terms of just a permanent situation of where a person doesn't work. It's much more than that. So you get the idea then that laziness is broad in its meaning. Anyhow, the point of Solomon is that a lazy person is an idle individual that in this context does nothing to repair the roof of his house after a rainy season, so that come the next rainy season, the roof leaks and so causes problem for that house. Now laziness then manifests itself in the neglect of that which belongs to a person. In other words, one way you can tell that you're lazy is if you neglect what belongs to you. Now this is what I said, what belongs to you, and we're going to define that. If you neglect it. So it happened that Solomon used a house as his illustration. But the point is that when a person is lazy, you can tell by how the person takes care of that which belongs to the individual. Now, we have another example of the lazy not taking care of what that which belongs to the individual as it concerns the person's vineyard, described to us in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. Proverbs chapter 30 and 31. He reads, and went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. So this passage, simply put, says that a lazy person does not care, in this case, does not even take care of his farmland, or he does not keep the ground of his house. But that is not all. We learn from this passage that a lazy person is also a fool, because such a person lacks judgment. So that a lazy person lacks judgment. That's why one reason they are lazy. They don't have the judgment. So the point remains though that because a lazy person
is also foolish. The individual does not take care of that which belongs to the person. Now, and you can see this truth with simple things, especially what you see with teenagers, with the vehicle driven by some individuals. They leave so much trash inside their vehicle where there is no reason for it. Now, these individuals go to fast food and get their food, but when they finish eating, they leave their trash in their vehicle for some time. Now, that's considered being a young person. No, that's being lazy. Now, if so, of course, if you enter the room of this kind of individual, you see clothes littered all over the floor. That's a lazy person. So what I'm saying, when you see this sort of thing, you can tell that the person is lazy. In other words, you know, who do you want to pick up on things that you live in everywhere? When you do that, you're a lazy person. And in case of young people, if they're living by themselves, mama is not around to pick them up. So it's everywhere. Because of what? Laziness. Now, if you're an adult, if you do that, you're also lazy. So that's, this says, of course, this also reflects lack of judgment and lack of care or concern for other people. So, we look at from the other side of things, though, that it's not only with material things that laziness can be evident. You can see it with humans. Now, we've been saying about not taking care of things that belong to a person. Then let's move a little bit to human beings. A lazy woman does not take care of the children so that they are not properly bathed and fed. It's a lazy woman. Now, in the same manner, a lazy husband does not provide for the family and certainly does not have the time for the wife. Now, you see, when I explain things like this, I know some women say, yeah, that describes my husband. Well, your husband may be too busy working. At the same time, if the husband does not put in perspective that he has a wife, needs to be talked to, that becomes a form of laziness. That's what I'm trying to get to you. Don't just think about these things in one way, because the scripture is rich in order to help us deal with our lives. Because a lot of time, you know, many marriages go into trouble because the husband is not talking to the wife. And that causes problem. And it gets away, it becomes problem, and then all kinds of things start happening. Now, so in other words, what I'm really saying, when you put it another way, a lazy husband will rather be alone in the house watching TV instead of talking to the wife or to the children. Don't want to be bothered. That's a lazy person. Because remember the point that we're stressing is, if you're lazy, you do not take care of that which belongs to you, including not just a property, but your wife, your children, and so on. So the point is that laziness manifests itself in various ways. Now, our focus so far, though, is on the consequence of laziness as it related to not taking care of that which belongs to an individual. But there are other consequences of laziness that we find in the scripture. There are other consequences. Laziness, that's the one that should be most obvious. Laziness leads to poverty. Poverty. Now, when we say poverty, don't think of poverty just about money only. Poverty in general. The reason we have poverty in the spiritual life today, where there's no teaching going on, is because we have a bunch of lazy pastors
They can sit down for hours and study. It's too much. So what is up? Poverty. And so they get up on that pulpit in 10 minutes, they make joke, and in the end people say, oh, we had a great preaching today. Because all they remember is joke. Nothing else. That's laziness. That's what causes us a poverty. Spiritual poverty. Of course, we also, you know, think about ordinary poverty. The Bible is described, really, in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Now, here is the thing that we see, this the whole thing about scripture. The more you know it, the more you see how they're all interconnected. And then one thing leads to the other. I've been talking about the fact, if you neglect what belongs to you, then you're going to suffer consequences. And that you're a lazy person. Now this happens even in various organizations. There are, you know, a lot of people in places of authority, they neglect their responsibility. And when they do that, they cause themselves serious problems. In this case, look at what it says, lazy hands makes a man poor. The diligent hands bring wealth. Now let me show you how, let me explain to you how this applies even in workplaces. I can guarantee you that there are a lot of businesses losing a lot of money, needlessly, because they have bosses that are lazy. They don't pay attention to details. They're lazy. And they're losing money, they don't realize that. In other words, what I'm saying is that there is great benefit to living by scripture. So that you see what you need to take care of, you don't push it off. You do it right away. Take care of it. In that way, you don't lose money. But we are, of course, focusing mostly on the person who, as we're going to see, doesn't really want to work. So that's the person that say that becomes poor. But those who work hard, say they make wealth, they bring wealth. So all I'm saying though, it is rare to find a lazy person who is wealthy. Very rare. And you may tell me, yeah, I don't know a lot of people. Maybe you do. Well, when you find this though, the explanation is usually that the person has inherited wealth from someone who has worked hard for it. Usually parents. They work hard and now they have lazy children. What you remember when we started this book of Ecclesiastes that Solomon was lamenting about. That I'm going to work all hard to leave all my money to a child who may be foolish the next day. So he inherited wealth from a hard-working parent. So ordinarily then, it takes hard work to acquire wealth. In any form you look at it, you have to put hard work before there can be wealth. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily you have to be a millionaire to have wealth. In order to be comfortable living as a person, you've got to work hard. It comes in various ways. Sometimes you just, you need to go to college. That requires a lot of hard work. Other things, you learn some skills, some trade. Even when you learn those, you still have to do a lot of working hard in order to create wealth. So, all I'm saying is, talk to those who are actually wealthy in the right way. You say, well, what do you mean? What I mean is, they did not inherit it. That's what I mean, in the right way. And you will discover that these have been individuals who have worked very hard in their field, through which they became wealthy. So I'm saying then, that successful men and women are, without exception, hard-working individuals. So it's not uncommon to find that such individuals have put in long hours at work each day. Now, this cannot be said of a lazy person. Hence, the poverty that comes to such a person. Now, as we have already noted, that a lazy person is that individual that knows what to do, but refuses to do it. So it is for this reason that the person who is lazy is in poverty. He needs to work hard, she needs to work hard, but doesn't do that. And the next thing, poverty. So, a reason though for poverty, given in agricultural economy, is that it is because the individual does nothing during the planting season. And as a result, have nothing to harvest during the harvest season. As indicated still in Proverbs, look at chapter 20, verse 4. Proverbs. Chapter 20, verse 4. He reads, a sluggard does not plow in season. So at harvest time he looks, but finds nothing. In other words, this lazy person keeps putting off, you know, in the agricultural economy, this is the time to plant, and he just keep putting it off, and probably towards the end they start planting. At that time, you know, it's almost late. And they won't get much when it comes to harvesting. Now, another consequence of laziness is that it really creates in a person the constant yearning for things he could not have. The person who is lazy, that's what it's going to create in that person, that desire to want things they can have. In other words, the person who is lazy is bound to be an individual that is not satisfied with life. You can't be a lazy person and be satisfied with your life. So it does not matter what a person gives to such an individual, he or she will never be satisfied, since he or she does not meet his or her own needs with because of not working. So no matter what you give to that kind of person, they don't appreciate it. They're lazy. So it is this effect, though, that is described in Proverbs chapter 21, verses 25 through 26. Proverbs chapter 21, verses 25 through 26. So the sluggard's craving, remember the sluggard's habitually lazy person. So the sluggard's craving will be the death of him, because his hands refuse to walk. Now there's something about working hard and earning a living. Now, if you work hard and you get money, you do not spend it like a person to whom it is handed down. In other words, you apply a lot of wisdom in spending the money you have. It doesn't mean you don't spend it. You just don't do it like somebody to whom it was handed down to. So that's why, because he refuses, in this case, the sluggard, the lazy person, keep yawning. Verse 26 says, all day long he craves for more. In other words, because he can't walk, he keeps desiring what he doesn't have. And so he keeps, or she keeps craving for more. But then look at the other, he says, but the righteous give without sparing. So, when you read that, that means you really can't be a lazy person and be a righteous person at the same time. Because it says the righteous. It contrasts it with the righteous. So the craving of the lazy person is his death, in the sense that because he does not have anything, such a person can starve to death. Now, since we often crave for things we do not have, then it is not surprising that such a person constantly desires things he or she cannot have. Now, that's just part of our sinful nature. Whatever we don't have, that's what we want. In this case, the lazy person wants what he can get. So a lazy person can hardly, though, be generous, because such a person does not have anything to give to others. So it's difficult for a lazy person to be generous. Still, though, there is another consequence of laziness, which is that such a person will never advance in an organization enough to be put in a management position. And you say, does the Bible say that? Yes, it does. It just doesn't go. You can't go and read verse. Say, well, if you're lazy, you're not going to be a supervisor. It doesn't say it in those words, but it's there. So we have to interpret the scripture to see it. Now, here is where it is. This is what is implied in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Reads, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. So now, how does that justify what I just explained? But let's look at it again. Now, the sense of this verse is that those who are hardworking will rule those who are lazy. That's what the sense of what I just read you. So when a person is diligent and works hard in an organization, it's a matter of time before such an individual is promoted to a management position where he or she supervises others. But the lazy person never advances, so stays in a position where he or she could not give orders to other workers. Such an individual works in often labor-intensive position throughout his or her life, because he doesn't want to advance. So it is this point then that is meant in that phrase when he say, enslave labor. See where I got it? So that if you're a lazy person in an organization, you're not going to advance. Now, we have mentioned some of the consequences of laziness, so that the person who studies the word of God and understand these consequences, we strive to avoid being lazy. Since such knowledge of these consequences will help an individual to escape them, then we are correct in our first point that wisdom will help you to avoid laziness. Therefore, you should strive to learn the word of God and apply it if you want to avoid the consequences of laziness. This brings us to the second point of this message, and that's why we begin next week. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us to the things that we have studied this evening, to recognize the consequences of laziness in all areas of our life, so that we can avoid them. This is a request in Christ's name. Amen.